First Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to finish it up here tonight, Lord willing. And kind of looking forward to this. So, and I want you to be a praying about this other deal. You know, I've been telling you for weeks now what we're going to be preaching on after this. Anybody going to tell me what it is? Yep. So you better be prepared, because I want to preach to you about that. And by the way, you know, before I get started here, I just want to share this with you. This is the end of the month here. This month, we're going to have over 1,000 downloads on sermon audio, just alone. And then on the church website, we're going to have between 300 and 500 there. So that's how many people are listening, besides what you see right here. You know. So that's encouraging to me. It is. And, you know, that's not even all. I mean, they're listening in different ways. A lot of those people get that and they give it to somebody else. And I was telling a preacher last night, there's a guy listening on there and he's just going through everyone, listening to everyone. And he's commenting on them. And it's just like a weary traveler in the desert that's found an oasis, somewhere to get something. Encourages me. And so, you know, I look at our few numbers sometimes and I get to worrying about what everybody else thinks of that. The Lord straightens me out on that pretty quick every time. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. All right. Now let's pray again. Father, we thank you for the songs and thank you for the good things we've already felt and experienced here tonight. And Lord, I pray that you bless your word now. Help us with it. Do the work, Lord. It's not in me, but it is in you and in your spirit. And I pray your word would have free course tonight. Amen. All right. Now, to abide means to speak of permanence. And there's very little that we experience in this life that is permanent. Very little. Very little. Everything about our earthly life is temporary. Temporal. It's not permanent. It's fleeting and passing. Ain't that right? Think about it. Things change. Your friends change. The people that you're around all the time, your circle, it always changes. The people that are in my circle, if you want to say it tonight, are not any of the same people that were 20 years ago. Life changes. Everything changes. Me and Dad were talking the other day, I think it was, and man, there's a lot of people. When I get to thinking about all the people that I've known that have passed on and went on, oh man, I know a bunch of people. Used to be here that ain't no more. I've had a lot of things that don't have anymore. So have you. You know, life is that way. Life here is temporal. Earthly life is temporal. There's very little that we experience here that is permanent. And almost all people, spend their lives trying to convince themselves that temporary things are permanent. That's true. That's what we all tend to do. We tend to cling to these temporary things and pretend that they're always going to be this way, but they're not. You know, I ever said Scary and Elizabeth, they got a brand new baby. And it seems like this is what it's going to be. Oh, it's not. The baby grows up. You have your kids and they grow up. Even like Seth and them with their little kids. I mean, even you're wise and understanding, but you still, it's going to surprise you how fast they grow up. How you're just going to blink your eyes and all of a sudden everything's going to be different. The kids are grown. They're going to be out having their own families and all of this. Life is that way. And we are that way. We try to convince ourselves that temporary things are permanent. Oh, we could get along a lot better if we just face that fact that everything is temporary. You got a husband you love? You got a wife you love? It's temporary. I hate to tell you that, but I'm warning you. You just have so long, so many days. You better treasure them. You better redeem the time, because the days are evil. And they do take away. They subtract from us. That's what life is. And unless you get your faith and hope in something besides these temporary things, you're going to leave this world very poor. Now, you can leave this world rich. Jesus told us, He said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You want to be rich? He told that rich young man, if you want to follow me, sell all you have. Come and follow me and you'll have riches in heaven. Give it to the poor. Sell it, give it to the poor. Follow me, you'll have riches in heaven. He'd rather had his temporary riches. He imagined that they were forever, but they weren't, were they? Somebody else got his money as soon as he was gone. Somebody else got his house as soon as he was gone. You live in your house and this is my house. And I built this house and it's my property and that's my land. No, it ain't. It's not. I don't care what the deed says. It says it's yours and your heirs forever. It ain't going to be. That's just another lie of this world. You're just temporarily living there. Somebody else is going to live there someday, and it ain't going to be long either. It's going to be somebody else's house, and you will be forgotten. All flesh is as grass, and it's just like the flower of the grass. It springs up, and it looks good, and then it fades and falls away, and then the wind blows over the place where it was, and nobody even knows that it ever existed there. That's what life's like here. Temporary. Temporary thing. So, don't try to convince yourself that everything's permanent when it's temporary. People put their faith and their hope in things on the earth. And they love things that are certainly not going to last forever and pretend that they are. Now, faith, hope, and love, it is the experience of life. Think about it. I don't know if I can get this across where you can see what I'm trying to say, but as food, shelter, and clothing are to the earthly body and needs, so faith, hope, and love are to the soul. They're the necessities of life. They're the experience of life. No matter earthly life or spiritual life, we all live by faith, hope, and love. That's the three elements of life's experience. Life itself may be summed up in these words, faith, hope, and love. These three words are the best way to express the idea of experiencing life. They're the basic elements of both temporal life and eternal life. They have the proper objects. If they have the proper objects, it makes this life a prelude to eternity instead of a paradox. You understand what I'm saying? If your faith is in its proper, on its proper object, if your hope is in the proper place, and if your affection of your heart is set on the proper thing, then life here will be a prelude to eternity in heaven. But if your faith and your hope and your affection are set in things on this earth that are temporal and passing and fleeting, no, you're going to be, of all men, most miserable. Yeah. Because they're not anything you can bank on. Now, if faith, hope, and charity have temporal objects, then life comes to an end when those objects are taken away. See, there's a great difference in the child of God who has his faith in God and his hope in God and the affection of his heart, the supreme love of his life is God. You can't shake him. You can take away everything he's got, and you've not touched his soul. And one of the martyrs said that. The emperor was going to put him to death, and they said, take away this and take away that. And he said, you can take away everything I've got, and you can take away everything I possess, and you can take away all that I... But you can't take away my faith in God and my hope that I have. You see? It's what life is supposed to be. Faith, hope, and love. Have you got them in the right place tonight? What is it you're trusting in? What is it you're hoping for? Where is the affection of your heart set? What is the object of your love? Is it things eternal or is it things temporal? Think about it hard. Think about it. Are you hoping for a better life? Are you hoping that you can be financially safe and secure? Are you hoping that someday you can have this and that? Or you can find a perfect mate? Or you can have the great biggest house in town? Or are you hoping for anything like that? Is your hope of your life to have some nice car or truck? Is that what your hope is? You're going to be disappointed and discouraged and depressed and let down so many times in your life. And it's not going to be good. So much better to have your faith in something that's never going to change, never going to waver. Faith in God. He ain't changing. He never has. He never will. And He ain't going to die. And He ain't going to go away or pass away. God's permanent. He's eternal. You can trust Him. You can put your faith in Him. You can cast all you got with Him. You can cast your burden upon the Lord. He's able to sustain you and He will sustain you, the Bible says. So you can trust Him. You can hope in what He has promised because His Word is good. He will keep His Word. Now you can hope in the things of the world and it's just a wish. And it's just, it might happen, it might not, and most likely won't. And then you're going to be disappointed. You're never going to be disappointed in God. We talked about last week looking through a glass darkly and how that when we step over, when that trumpet sounds and we are changed and we find ourselves in the presence of the Lord, ain't nobody going to feel the least bit of disappointment or letdown. Your hope is sure in God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And hope in Him. Now, life itself is about faith, hope, and charity. Now, let's talk about each one for just a minute. Faith is trust and confidence and assurance. It's what I rest upon. The object of my faith is what I rest upon. Don't make a mistake here and rest on your faith. That's what everybody says. They say, well, my faith got me through. Your faith ain't going to do nothing for you. The only thing that's going to do anything for you, the only thing in the universe that can do anything for you is God. Trust in Him, not in yourself. If you're trusting in your faith, you're trusting in yourself. Your ability to believe. No, that ain't what faith's about. Faith is when the object of your hope, the object of your love, and the object in which you trust everything, all your care, is God. That's the only way that faith's going to do anything. And then it's not faith that does it, see? It's God. I'd like to hear some of these people, you know, these tragedies happen and you watch them on the news and they say, well, my faith got me through it. I'd like for one time just to hear them say, oh, my God got me through it. Amen. Yeah. Don't you think that sounds a lot better? Don't that ring a lot truer in your ears? Oh, yes. Faith. Faith is the anchor that we hold to. Faith's what we fall back on when the winds and the waves toss our ship beyond our control. Faith is like our tether to God. It's what connects us. It's the vehicle. We're saved by grace through faith. It's the means, the median, however you want to put it. Don't trust in that. Trust in the object. That's real faith. Face what we fall back on. Face the confidence and the assurance that everything will be all right, no matter what happens. Now, how can you have faith in anything in this world? Can you have faith in our government? Can you have faith in the stock market? Can you have faith in your health insurance? Can you have faith in your job? Can you have faith in your investments? Can you? No, afraid not. You're going to be let down. You're going to be disappointed. All those things, I mean, you know, we're in the world and we have to do business and all of that. But what I'm saying to you tonight is, where is your faith? Your experience in life, all of a sudden. And all of us are exercising faith. That's what life is. It consists of faith, hope, and charity. And so what and where is it? What realm are you exercising your faith? What are you trusting in? What are you resting upon? What are you basing your life upon and counting on it? Your investments, your job security, your health insurance. Have you got all that in order now? And so I'm safe. Are you? Because if you are, I'm telling you, you've got a sandy foundation that you're building on. Better not build your life on that stuff. Better build your life on God in heaven, who doesn't change, who will supply all your need according to His riches. Yes, He will. He will take care of us. Don't mean we're supposed to be foolish and irresponsible. That ain't what I'm preaching to you tonight. I'm just preaching to you, where's your heart at? I mean, examine yourself real closely. What are you trusting in? I mean, how hard is it to just trust the Lord? Have you ever done it? I mean, really. I mean, throwed it all to the wind and said, I'm going with God. Well, I have. More than once. And I've not been disappointed. No. Did it turn out like I thought it would? Nope, never did. Never did. But in the long run, was I cheated? Was I shorted? Did I get less than I thought I would? Oh no, I always got more than I thought I was going to get. It wasn't what I thought I was going to get. It didn't come the direction I thought it was going to come from. But God has given much more than I ever anticipated or expected. Faith is that confidence and assurance that everything's going to be all right no matter what. You can't do that with things of the world. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Man, you got to have something that's permanent. And things on the earth are not permanent. You don't possess one thing that's permanent. Think about that. Not one thing. We treasure our little sentimental things and we guard them. And boy, it means a lot to me and all of that. It's about throwing a dumpster when you're gone. That's right. Very true. How can you love those things when they're so temporal? I mean, we ought to hold the things of the earth very loosely. You might say one time you ought to drive your tent pegs very deep. You ought to leave them where you can pull them up and go pretty quick. Hold them loosely. Hold the thing. We're just stewards of everything we've got. We're just stewards. Nothing is ours. Come into this world with nothing, didn't we? Naked. That's pretty. I mean, you can't get no more nothing than that. And you're leaving the world the same way. With nothing. Nothing. So if you've lived your life, if you've experienced life on this earth, and you had faith, and you had hope, and you had love, but you put them all in the wrong places. You experienced them all in temporal things, and that's all you ever knew. Was your life but vanity? It's a total loss. Total loss for eternity. You've come out with nothing for eternity. Do you understand what Jesus was talking about when He said, lay up treasure for yourself in heaven? Don't live your life trusting in the things of the world and the things that are temporal. Don't live your life hoping for these temporal things that you can get your hands on them and possess them and experience these temporal pleasures on earth. Don't do that. Don't love the world and the things that are in the world. Because if you did, the love of the Father's not in you. Set your affection on things above. What were we talking about this morning? The greatest commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Our faith, nothing in earth, people, or resources can suffice as that type of anchor. Our faith has to be in something that's not going to change, not going to move, not going to disappear on us. We got to have an anchor that is steadfast and sure, not something that's going to change on us. That's what faith is. Faith. And we all do it. Worldly people who know nothing about God, they live exercising faith. It's just that they got their faith in something else besides God. They're trusting in themselves. Their own ingenuity. Their own, I'm a self-made man. I pull myself up by my own bootstraps. Don't give God much credit, does it? You know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to make something of myself. Well, it's good to have ambitions and goals, but what are you trusting in? Really? What about God? What place does He hold in your esteem? Is He like an idol that you just pass by once in a while and say, saluted or something, or patted on the head, and you go on about your building your kingdom? Well, it's different when your faith is in God and you trust in God. Oh, I wish I could. I just wish I could get it across. It's so different when you live trusting in God. When your faith is really in God. I mean, you can get slammed to the ground by the things of life and you're okay. I mean, your whole world can be destroyed around you and your soul can be unshaken. Look at Job. See what I'm talking about? There's a man who trusted in God, whose faith was in God, not in his riches, not in his family, not in all his livestock, not in his friends. His trust was in God, not in his wife. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. God's right, He's unchangeable, and my hope, my faith, my hope, and my love is set on Him. Buddy, you got an anchor there. Yes, you can take it. Whatever the devil wants to dish out to you, God said to the devil, go get him. Just try, give it your best shot, Satan. And he did. He really did. I mean, the devil put it on old Job. With all he had, all that God would allow him to do, he did. And Job stood the test. Why? Because he trusted. His faith was in the right place. His hope was in the right place. And his love was in the right place. Hope is a desire of some good with the expectation of obtaining it. You know, what the world has, and their hope is really just wishful thinking. That's what they really think of. That's the concept they have in their mind when they hope for something. You hope to have something one day. You hope to be such and such someday. And your faith's in the world and the things of the world and temporal things. And your hope is in those same things. Your hopes can be dashed. The object that you've got your faith, it can vanish from one day to the next. If your hope is in money, it can vanish. If your hope is in your own intelligence and intellect, you can have a stroke today and be done. It's gone. All that you trusted in, all that you had such confidence in, it can be taken away in an instant, just like that. And leave you with nothing. And so all your faith, all your hope, gone. You know what you're going to, you know what people end up like that are that way? They got their faith and their hope in that. And they end up bitter people. Bitter, bitter. When their faith is in the wrong thing and it's dashed. And their hopes, they had them in the wrong things and it gets dashed and they're is no possible way that they're ever going to be able to fulfill their hopes. They become bitter, bitter, bitter. Bitter at everybody. Bitter at God. Well, it's their own fault. God's trials don't make you bitter. They make you better. If you're one of His. If you got faith. If you got real hope and real charity. The trials will make you better. It's what we were talking about back there a while ago, brother. It makes you, it enlarges you. God ain't going to let you be tempted above that which you are able to bear. God's, He ain't going to put something on you that He knows you can't do with His help. You see, that's the key to it. There's things that's happened that I could not do. But God made the difference. God gave the strength. God gave the deliverance because I trusted in Him. If I'd have been trusting in the world, in the psychiatrists and the doctors and the smart people of the world, I'd have failed. But I found that God is much more reliable, much more of a physician, much more of a healer. He can give you a sound mind. Yes, He can. Psychiatrists can't do that for you. And I ain't never been to no shrink, but, you know, maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, you should have been. Maybe. I don't know. Hope. Everybody desires, but most do so without any real hope of obtaining it. They live their life dreaming. See, dreaming. That's their hope. It's a dream. They dream of one day having such and such, or going such and such place, or being such and such a person. They dream of it. Dream of it. That's their hope. Many don't ever realize it. It's a fleeting hope. It's a hope that's never going to be fulfilled. But we have real hope when we put our hope, when we focus our faith on the proper object, which is God. When we place our hope in the proper object, which is God and His eternity, and it's sustained by real faith, it produces joy. See? If I trust in God with all my heart and for all my life, and that no matter what happens, I'm still trusting in God. Whatever happens, I know that He's watching over me. Whatever happens, I know that God knew this before I ever seen it coming. And that God allowed it for some purpose in my life. If I can trust Him like that, then the hope that I have in Him is real to me. See, heaven ain't no dream to me. It's real. There is a place, like we talked about last week. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And He said, if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there ye may be also. So it's real. If I really believe Him and trust Him, and He's promised that, that's my hope, see? And you need to lay hold on that hope, see? How you do that? Faith. By putting your faith in God instead of yourself, instead of the thing, other people, instead of the things of this world that are temporal and temporary. Think about it hard, what you're trusting in. Think about it real carefully, what you're hoping in. Think about it real carefully about what the real affection of your heart is. What do you think? What is it that you couldn't live without? Huh? Is it somebody? Is it some thing you've got? Is it your money? Is it your property? Is it your own pride and your own intelligence or whatever? All that's temporary. Every person that's around us is temporary. Your wife or husband, your children, your grandchildren. It's all temporary. We're just flesh. And all flesh is as grass. I mean, it's here today, gone tomorrow. It's just a passing thing. A vapor. Life's like a vapor. It just passes away. It's all temporal. Are you trusting in any of that? Really? Now, I keep hammering that, but I mean, really. I know everybody here tonight, if I'd pin you down, you'd say, well, I'm trusting God. Are you really? But see, our lives tell the truth about us. We can say whatever we want, but our actions speak louder than words. You know, I really do believe that if everybody was serious about trusting God, I believe we'd have people wanting to go to a mission field somewhere sometime. I believe there'd be people wanting to preach the gospel. I believe there'd be people that would see the need and say, somebody's got to go. When the Lord said, who'll go for us? He said, here am I, send me. I believe we really had faith in the right things. Well, there ain't no things about it. We had our faith in God and our hope in eternal things. And we looked around us. I think love would constrain us to go and to do what we can for the kingdom of God. I believe that's right. When we have a simple desire without faith and hope, it produces sorrow and pain and grief. See? And when the object of our faith is God, our hope will be the kind that gives joy because our desire is sure to be fulfilled. It's not just unfounded hope or wishful thinking. It's sure. Now, love. We got faith, hope, and love. Love like we've seen it defined by this whole chapter here. This is the love chapter. It's on charity. And we've been preaching on it for months here, I guess, now. But faith, hope, and love. And I'm not talking about earthly love. But see, that's the kind that's based in temporal things. And it's so obvious because people don't stay married anymore. They fall in love and they fall out of love. And it's just all good to them. I mean, that's the way it works, you know. Love's that way. It's just something like it's a temporary thing. Boy, I'd hate to go into marriage feeling like that about love, wouldn't you? We'd have to change the vows all up, wouldn't we? I promise to love you, well, as long as it lasts. I promise to love you as long as it lasts. To cherish you as long as it lasts. No, love never faileth. Didn't we read that back here a few verses back? Never fail. Doesn't cease. Doesn't stop. True charity doesn't. It's got to be founded in the right thing. It's got to be focused on the right object. Don't make any mistake about it. God has told us the truth. And it's like we talked about this morning, the law of God. And the basic thing of the law of God, Jesus told us. The whole summation of the law is that we should love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's permanent. That isn't emotional love. It isn't fleshly. It has nothing to do with how it pleases us or how it makes us feel. It's a matter of your will. Yeah. Jesus doesn't love us because how we make Him feel. We don't give Him warm, fuzzy feelings when He thinks on us or looks on us. He loves us out of holiness and out of righteousness. He loves us. Why does He love us? Because He chose to. Yeah. There's every reason in the world He should hate us. We've been unthankful. He's given us life. And all we do is murmur and gripe and complain about it. We don't like the way we look. We don't like the way He made us. And we got to change it. And we don't like the life He's given us. And we don't like the food He gives us to eat. And we don't like nothing. We just murmur and complain about everything. And we sin against Him. And we disregard Him. And we curse His name. Looks like He would hate the human race. If God had the kind of love that humans practice, we'd be in big trouble, let me tell you. He'd have fell out of love with us a long time ago. But herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. Yeah. And He gave Himself for us. And God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. Because He loved us. So love that it's talking about here is not this earthly kind of love. Now see, they practice, if you don't have your faith in the right object, then your faith's on temporal things. And if your hope's not in the proper object, God, then your hope is in earthly things. And if your love is not on the proper object, if your heart is not fixed on Him, then it's fixed on this world, on temporary, fleeting, emotional love that's based on lust and physical attraction and all of that, that all changes and all fades away. That's why they don't stay married. That's why they don't stay together anymore. That's why they fall out of love. It ain't love. It's lust. It's plain and simple. It's all this. And it's a sorry substitute for love. The ruling motive of our heart, is it selfish interest or benevolence? Do we see ourselves in the proper perspective when we view ourselves in the light of God and the universe? I mean, think about it. Sin makes a person so depraved that they start thinking they're the center of the universe and everybody, including God, is there to serve and please them. That's what sin does to you. It makes you think that everybody's treating you wrong and everybody ought to treat you better. And all you can see is what's wrong with your life. That's what sin does for somebody. Are you looking at yourself in the proper perspective, though, when you just see yourself in this universe and before God? I mean, we are absolutely beyond insignificant in this universe to everything and everyone except God who loves us. Do you realize how little you are compared to everybody that's alive on earth right now? How many? 7 billion and something? Do you realize how insignificant each one of us is tonight in that number? Who are we? Nobody. I mean, when you back off from there, I've seen these things here lately about they show you, trying to show you how big the universe is. The viewable, the observable universe, they call it. You can't even begin to get your mind around it. How little and how nothing we are in all this vast universe. And the only thing that makes us even significant at all is the fact that God is there and God loves us. And He made us in His image and likeness. And that He redeemed us from our sin. Do you look at yourself like that? You ever think about how little I am and how little I matter? You know, remember the bucket deal? That little poem about the bucket of water, and you want to know how important you are and how irreplaceable you are. Get your bucket, fill it up with water, stick your hand in it and pull it out, and the hole that's there, that's how fast you'll be replaced when you're gone. That's right. This place couldn't run without me. Oh, yes, it can. I got news for all of us here today. If I died tonight, the world will just keep right on going tomorrow. And everybody will just pick up and keep going. And they'll just figure out a way. And before you know it, it won't be no time till won't be missed at all as far as the workings of everything. I mean, people miss you in their heart and all that. But everything will keep going. I'm just saying, don't get to thinking too much of yourself. We're talking about love here. In light of our utter insignificance and usefulness or uselessness, the object of our utmost love is wasted on if we've got it set on anything but God Himself. Do you understand? Have I rambled so much here you didn't hear what I said? We're so insignificant. And so whatever love we have, it's wasted if we have it on anything but God. Don't you see? How vain to love the things of the world or anything that's temporal. How foolish, how vain. When we're just a little speck and we can love God, that's what He's given His law. That's what He's done. That's God's whole goal. That's why He made man in the first place, to be the object of His love. And He wanted it reciprocated. I mean, that's the whole deal. And so that's what we're to do. Now, faith worketh by love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says that. Love is what makes faith work. We talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago. And I got ahead of myself, but I just had to. But faith worketh by love. Faith is not an intellectual exercise based on verifiable facts. It's not. That's not faith. If you can learn the facts and then, well, yeah, I believe that. That's not faith. No, no, no. Faith worketh by love. Faith is simply the feeble response of a frail human heart to the obvious love of God that's manifested toward Him. That's what faith is. Are y'all listening? I don't know if you are or not. What's 2 plus 2? Hey, you are listening. Faith is a moral decision, not an intellectual decision. Oh, man, I wish I could get that across. Faith is not understanding how it all works and then saying, okay, I can get that. I can agree. That's not faith. Faith is just getting on the ship and pulling up the anchor and going out to sea. It's not staying with one foot on the bank. Now, when it comes to ships and oceans, that's me. That's the way it is. And airplanes. I mean, I'd rather just keep one foot on the ground. And if I'm going to fly, I don't want to fly but about that high. So I can jump out if I have to. But I can't be that way when it comes to God and life. See, you ain't got no choice. Well, you do. You can go ahead with the foolishness and the vanity of this life, but in this world. But let me tell you something. At some point, it's going to become real to you. You got to live a while to start seeing the truth of all this. When you're young, it's hard. You think you cling to everything you can get your hands on. You cling to it. You know, your stuff, your things, your family, your children. You cling to all that stuff. But as you go through life, you begin to see, I can't keep clinging. I can't hold on. It's getting away from me. Things are being taken away. If you won't turn loose, it'll go by force. It'll be pulled out of your hands and out of your grip. Life can do that. Faith's a moral decision. And this faith immediately produces real hope, which enhances the love of God in our view. And it sets our love for Him on fire. Real faith. The moment you really believe. What is that about? Well, it's the moment that you really cast your care upon the Lord. That's when you really believe. It's not when you hear that you're a sinner, that Jesus died for sinners, and that if you call on His name, you'll be saved. No, when you're really saved is when you really give it all to God and say, I trust You. From here on, it doesn't matter what happens in my life, I'm going to trust You. I know You love me. I know that You're not going to do me wrong. And so from this point on, whatever happens, I'm going to consider it from Your hand, under Your care, under Your eye. And it's not, I'm going to take life as it comes from God. That's the moment you believe. When you really mean that. When you really run up the flag and say, that's it, I'm not resisting anymore. I'm believing in God. I'm trusting in God. That's faith. And let me tell you something tonight. The instant that you do that, you're going to have real hope in your soul. That's what happens. I can tell you, anybody that's ever been saved can tell you that's the way it happens. How and what and all. I just tell you that's how it is. Faith brings hope. Real faith brings real hope. And then love. The old timers used to sing it. They said, it makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it does. It does. Yes. Not with this fuzzy, warm, nice feeling kind of love. But love. Concern. Goodwill. Charity. These three are therefore one: faith, hope, and charity. Now abideth these three: faith, hope, and charity. And that means they're like a circle, like God Himself. You know, there's the rainbow round about the throne. See, we only see half of it in the sky, don't we? But around the throne of God, it's a full circle. Represents unending eternity. So, faith, hope, and love, which are our experience in life here, are so designed that they even reflect the God's image and design. So we ought to be very careful with the objects of our faith, hope, and love. Almost all human beings trust in others, other people, or in earthly sureties, as long as there are any to trust in. Ain't that the truth? As long as there's anything to trust in but God, you'll just keep it trusting. You've heard the story a thousand times about the guy fell off the cliff and he said, "Oh, Lord, help me." And he got caught on a limb and he didn't hit the bottom. And he said, "Never mind, Lord, I got this." It's kind of the way it is, ain't it? As long as you can grasp for another thing to hold on to, you'll do it. Until you really cast all your care upon Him. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Psalm 118:8. It really is. "And they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." Psalm 125:1. So it's better to trust in the Lord. And you got the promise and the hope that if you do, you're not going to be moved. "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." Psalm 40:4. That means blessed is the man. Happy is the man. It is well with the man who trusts in the Lord. Almost all human beings have their hope in temporal things that they're sure to lose. If they ever do obtain them, they're sure to lose them. That's not really hope at all. But it's only a desire that's with no guarantee or even any real expectation of ever obtaining it. Like winning the lottery. You hear people all the time saying, "Boy, if I'd hit the lottery, if I'd win the lottery." That's what I'm talking about. Multitudes of people are living in a hope like that. What's your chances? The lottery is a tax on people that are not good at math. That's what it is. Amen. Tax on the dumb. Taking advantage of people and their greed and their vain hopes. I'm glad I got a hope better than that. I don't hope in that at all. There ain't no hope because I don't do it. All Christians used to feel that way. But like drinking and immorality and everything else, they just went to doing that too. "If I win the lottery, I'll pay the tithes." Well, a good church wouldn't take the tithes off of that. A boy over in West Virginia won that big lottery years ago, and he was belonged to a Baptist church. And he wanted to pay his tithes off of it to the church, and his church wouldn't take it. These churches all over the country said, "We will, we will." Sure. I'm glad my hope's not in that. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Jeremiah 17:7. And in Psalm 146:5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." So, your faith is to be where? In God. Your hope is to be where? In God. Sure. Now, almost all human beings place the affection of their heart on somebody or something besides God. And therefore, all their strength and life is invested in something that they end up losing in the end. Jesus said unto him, "Then thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." Matthew 22:37. We read that this morning. And Haggai said in chapter 1 and verse 6, he that earneth wages to be put into a bag with holes. You see the contrast? He works hard and he puts all he's got into it. And whatever he makes, he puts it in a bag that's got holes in it. That's you if you're trusting in the vain things of this world. If your hope is in this temporal things of this world, it's like having a bag with holes in it. And that's what you're carrying your treasures and your earnings in. You're going to get there and ain't going to be there. One time when I was a little boy, I remember my mom sent me up to Grandma's to get some eggs. Well, Grandma put them in a paper bag. And by the time I got home with them, I ran. And so, what do you think was in the sack when I got home? Nothing. They'd broke and all of it had run out the bottom of the sack. Didn't do much good to send me up there to get eggs. Oh man, ain't it going to be bad when you get to the end of your life and find out you're empty and you're poor and destitute of faith, of hope at the end, man? Better put it in the right thing now. Not someday when you understand better. Not when you can find that high place to get on. No, now. Right where you're at. With what you got. Right now. Give it to God. Trust in God. Just one more little thing I want to say. Make God the object and the center of your experience of life. And you really will experience life. It's the only way to live life and experience life is to have God at the center of everything. People may call you a fanatic and they may call you a kook, but they're the fools. And in the end, you're going to be glad that you had. And not only, you don't have to wait to the end. I mean, living and walking with God and worshiping and loving and serving God and hoping in Him is the only way to live. Let them laugh. Let them mock. You know, when I was young, I was concerned about that. Not anymore. Let me tell you that right now. Not anymore. I don't have to hang my head, and neither do you in this wicked, ungodly world. Because you're a Christian, because you believe in God. You shouldn't be proud. It shouldn't make you proud. But you don't have to hang your head. You got nothing to be ashamed of, and they do. And you got something to look forward to, and they don't. And you got something that your affection set on that's lasting and steadfast and sure, and theirs is temporal and fleeting. Make God the object of your love and the center of your experience of life, all your faith and hope that everybody practices. But put yours in God. Make this world and its temporal things the object of your faith, hope, and love, and you'll experience death while you live, and you will come up empty at the end of the road. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say to you tonight? Faith, hope, and love. It's the very food, shelter, and clothing of your soul. Get it right. Don't trust in vain things. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Don't trust in our government. I hope you ain't got a great deal of hope in this election coming up. I hope you don't have much hope in any of these men that are promising to fix everything. It ain't going to happen. Y'all know that, don't you? It's not going to happen. Where should our faith be? Should we vet all the candidates and pick the one we think is going to do it? No. We better be praying to God. We better be looking to God. We better have our hope in God. That's our only way out of this thing. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And we ain't got there yet. They're going to wax worse and worse. And that's why Jesus could say to us, when you hear wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. That's what Jesus said, Mike. I know it's going to get bad, and if you look at the world and what's going on, it's going to worry you. Men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear of the things that are coming to pass on the earth. But you that have faith in me, you that have hope in me, you that love me, see that you be not troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Yeah, neither let it be afraid. Have confidence. See, real faith in its proper object gives you confidence. And that faith makes hope real. I'm really, really looking for Jesus to come any day. I really am. I get up in the morning and I think, is this the day? Am I going to hear that trumpet today? Am I going to hear His shout? He is coming. I trust Him. I believe. I ain't living in no fairy tale. It's real. And I do have a hope that's steadfast and sure. And I love Him. So when He comes, it's going to be a great day for everybody that loves Him. Amen. All right, let's stand. All right. Look at me. How many of you have got your faith in God? I mean, you can raise your hand and say, I am trusting in the Lord. I am not trusting in the things of this world. Amen. I hope you're honest with yourself. If you're not, why ain't you? You know, why ain't you? If you couldn't raise your hand, why are you not trusting in God? Has He ever let you down? Everybody raised their hand would say, He never let me down. Have you tried Him? Remember that old Bible we read about? They said TP all the way through it. It had a TP by a different verse. They found out later what it meant. Some old woman wrote in her Bible, tried and proven. She wrote by the verses and tried and proven. I've tried. It's been proven to me. God don't have to do. He don't have to do anything for us. But ain't it wonderful that He does? He don't have to prove anything to me. But He does. Yeah. Well, if Jesus comes this week, I hope you're not left behind. Hear me? You better get somewhere. You better do some real. You better do what Jacob did. You better wrestle. I've often wondered about that. Jacob wrestled with a man. And we always take it to mean God. But I wonder, could you apply that to Jacob wrestling with old Jacob? Yeah. And he went away halting on his thigh, but he was Israel now. Old Jacob. Not Jacob no more. You need to do that. You need to get somewhere and face yourself for what you... And I mean be honest before God about yourself. I'm telling you, you better not, you young people, you've been in church all your life, I'm talking even to my kids, you better not trust in what you know and what you've heard. You know, just the fact that you know and somebody's taught you, that don't mean you know anything about God. Don't mean you've got any hope or any real faith. Or it doesn't mean you love God just because you know all these things. And we'll see how you fare when life puts you down. When life subtracts from you, we'll see if you really trust God or not. That's what the trials do for all of us. Ain't it wonderful when we see somebody make it through? Old ship comes in off the ocean and it's been through a terrible storm and everything's busted and broke, and but they made it. And they come in and they're just kind of like heroes, ain't they? Everybody's admires them. They wrote it out. They made it. It's kind of that way with the Christian when you go through the trials of life and it brings out the sweetness and the joy and the reality of what's in there. You made it. You're still praising God. You still love God. And people stand back and say, boy, if that had been me, I just don't. Oh, listen, we're to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. All of us better do that. Make sure it's real. Make sure the object of your faith is the right thing. God, the real God. Make sure your hope is based and focused on the right thing. God. Make sure the affection of your heart is on God. And everything else will fall in place in your life. That's living. Yes, sir. That is living. That's life while you live. It's heaven here, and heaven ain't going to be no strange place to you when you get there. If you live that way here, you're going to be at home when you get there. You won't have to change nothing. Your faith, your hope, your love is all going to be where it's supposed to be. And when you step in through the gates or however how it is, you're going to just be right at home. Big difference between earthly faith and temporal things and real faith and eternal things. All right. I think I've... Hope you got it. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray you'd bless it now to our hearts and minds. Lord, this is such an important message. And I pray that it would land on good ground and bring forth fruit. So important that we have these things right and in order in our life. Please help us. Bless each life as we go out this week. Make those that are yours a blessing in this world to other people. And may our lights shine this week and help somebody to be able to see a little clearer towards you. Pray, Lord, folks here tonight that don't know you, I pray they would go home and do some serious soul searching. Make sure of where they're at. And if they can come to grips with the fact that they're not trusting you, I pray they would throw all that stuff overboard and put their trust and their faith and hope in thee. Lord, we love you tonight. Pray you'd help this week meet needs, guide and direct our lives. Watch over us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins He'll wash away, your night He'll turn to day. Yes, He will.
Your
life He'll make it over. Yes, He will. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, Jesus come into your heart. That is true. And all of God's people ought to say, amen. Yes, sir. Amen. You're listening.